resolve this one tonight. And there are other issues. There's a big public works yard that's moving from Taché to our new public works yard. That's going to be, there's going to be an EOI for some housing there. There are two industrial properties right at the river's edge that, you know, figure prominently in what happens here. There's a spur line. So I'm going to lay this over to our next regularly scheduled meeting, and I'm going to talk to our administration about solving this.
If you want to hear the rest of the representation, there's no opposition here to it.
There's no opposition. I don't think we don't need to hear the rest of the representations, given that we're laying it over. Okay. So, you know, I hope people that come out understand. There will be a chance to speak on this once we have more information from our admin, given your position here. So having said all that, I'll lay this over till
September meeting is
September 9th. September 9th in these chambers.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried. Thank you, Riel. Sorry
you,
for
Riel.
The delay.
That's item 2 and 3.
Items 4 and 5.
Item 4 is a plan of subdivision at Elizabeth Street at Plessy's Road under file DAS 19 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will be heard at the same time, namely, item 5 is a variance at 340 Mazenod Street under file DAV 127531 of 2013D.
The applicant is here. I assume the City of Winnipeg is also an applicant. I only have two people here registered for this application. Is there anybody else here on this application? This is Elizabeth Street at Plessy's Road? No? Okay. Which one is it? 1585?
Yeah, 1585 St. Mary's Road.
Has he requested it?
No.
Folks, there's folks here on 1585 St. Mary's Road. Councillor Vandell is just informing me that Councillor Mays would like this matter laid over so that he can be here to deal with it. So it is going to be laid over to the September 9th meeting. You folks don't have to stay. It'll just be a straight layover when it comes up. You sure it's that one and not this one, right?
It's the...
But just make sure that's the correct one.
Is this the one about the service station?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it's a service station.
I'll tell you in a minute. I'm sure it's this one. An auto repair shop, yeah.
Service.
Plan of subdivision for...
It's going to C2 to establish an auto repair shop and service use on the
site. Yeah, so it will be laid over. So you do not need to stay for it.
The Councillor for St. Vital is not here, but he will be here in September. Our apologies for letting you wait through. You don't want to sit through this one, believe me. On a nice night like this.
Councillor Clark planned to use the full 2.5 hours allotted to me tonight.
That's 6 and 7. Okay, Mr. Glavin and Mr. Falk. There are only two registered on this application. So what do you, I'm not sure how you want to proceed. I understand that you probably have some issues with the report that you want to discuss.
Yes.
So why don't we just
cut to the chase and deal with that.
And let's get into your argument regarding the whatever issues you have with the ACG report, if I'm not mistaken.
Right there. Great. We have five simple, straightforward issues to deal with on the ACG report, and they can be broken down very quickly. Traffic impact study, some text amendments that we're going to ask for, which is really getting to some minutia, but we feel it's important nonetheless. Issues dealing with active transportation corridors and sidewalks, rail crossing, and some roadworks. Roadworks is the real meat and potatoes here that that we need to focus on, and I do have three or four slides that go along with that I think help to explain what we're trying to do. First and foremost, the traffic impact study. It was one of the requests of the administration of the ACG report that we produce a traffic impact study. I also found it rather ironic that prior to producing a traffic impact study, they already had a whole series of road work that included a bridge to China. At the end of the day, we were asked to do road improvements and intersection upgrades to Mazenod and Dugal Road, to Camille Sis and Plessy, and one other who's just forgotten where it is. The reality is it was a foregone conclusion that because we have industrial land that has been zoned industrial land and has been designated industrial land in an industrial area, that apparently our industrial development was going to create too much traffic for the city streets to handle and the intersections to accommodate. Bunk, I say. So I had Morris and Hirschfield, our project engineers, do a quick review of current traffic and provide us with a report that has been provided to the administration and to the planning department. And the bottom line is that the intersections of Dugald Road and Mazenod, Dugald and Bagan, Plessy's and Camille Sis have significant capacity to handle the anticipated traffic volumes that will be generated from Prairie Industrial Park. And we're looking at a full build-out in 15 to 20 years of about 9,600 vehicle trips per day.
In 15 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep in mind, the City of Winnipeg absorbs approximately 20 acres of new industrial land every year. So this is a long-term project that's going to take a long time to build out, but if it doesn't start now, it never will. So what we're asking for, that a traffic impact study is not warranted, and it certainly is not required for this particular development, particularly because the intended land uses are not changing. We have land that was developed in an industrial area for industrial purposes with industrial intersections and industrial roadways. What do we need a traffic impact study for? From a very practical standpoint and point of view, the development agreement parameters does not permit the city to ask for a traffic impact study under these circumstances. It's a make-work project that will add cost and is completely unnecessary, and we would like it deleted. Next slide.
And that is
In ACG report B number one?
Yes, number one, and agreement conditions number 22. The printed handout that was given to you earlier on also basically highlights or repeats these slides.
The developer at no expense construct the following. Okay, continue. I got them.
The small stuff, so some text amendments that we would like to see, in particular in the condition, agreement condition C, paragraph 3. They talk about all land drainage sewers and bioswales. We'd just like the word bioswale changed to vegetated swale. Just a concern, there is a difference from an engineering perspective between a bioswale and a vegetated swale, and we don't want to be obligated to build a bioswale, as it has some subsurface piping involved with it. So I just don't want to come back in later.
Should I ask what the difference is?
some questions are best left.
Well, okay. Matt's prepared another slideshow just to tell you the difference between vegetated swales and mesmer. But it's a word game that
so you want
they have different meanings. So
vegetated
swales as opposed to The other is just a pet peeve that we have, calling our road systems a rural cross-section. Prefer it to be called an asphalt cross-section because it's the same cross-section of road that we're using throughout the city and including on Chief Pegwas Trail. And paragraph 17 talks about houses. I think it was just a simple typo, and it probably should have read buildings rather than homes. Active transportation corridors and sidewalks. This is not going to be a pedestrian-friendly development. Donna, I'm sorry for that. It's intended for trucks and for employment land and employment use only. We do have an active transportation corridor that Terracon Development participated in running southbound on Mazenod, which we intend to continue to our public reserve area at the south limit of the development. So if you can imagine, we were going to spear the line to continue to go south until it hits our public reserve area, and that would be the extent of the active transportation corridor that we would like to get access. If people want to walk and go for a bike ride on Saturdays, at least they can get down to, we have a very large 21-acre lake retention pond and park area that will form part of this business park. So that would allow access to it. I think sidewalks on either side of the major roads heading in east or westerly direction becomes excessive and cost prohibitive. And again, it's not intended to be a public place and not intended to be a place to go for a walk. These are intended to be large acreage employment lands geared towards manufacturing, outdoor storage, those types of things. Good, honest to goodness jobs is what we're after.
Where's sidewalks? Number 16?
Yes, condition 16.
So down the entire length of this development, you're proposing that there be no pedestrian walkway?
We would provide a pedestrian active transportation corridor from Mazenod Road south down to our large park area. Is there any way we can back to that map there?
That's number 8. So you don't have a problem with number 8?
I don't have a problem with number 8. Well, the active transportation corridor, we fully integrate down from right here, it ends, right down to here, our 20-acre park area. But the administration also has to board is public sidewalks are along this road, along this road.
On both sides?
On both sides. We are already providing 14-meter right-of-way.
That includes 10 meters of asphalt pavement and 2 meters of compacted gravel shoulder on either side. So we have a 14-meter right-of-way, which is about 40% more than normally is provided in any kind of industrial development. If the handful of people want to go for a walk, they've got the boulevard or the...
I'm not thinking about the handful of people that want to go to the walk. I'm go for a walk. I'm thinking about the volumes of people that attend work at these locations. And if the bus is going down Mazenod... and they get off at Mazenod and whatever the new street names are, how do they get down that road? They're just walking on the shoulder?
They'll have to walk on the shoulder.
Okay.
I'll finish your presentation. I'll ask questions.
If you prefer to do it on the fly, I'm okay. Either way.
I'll ask them now. So what's the standard in other industrial parks? Does anyone know that? What's the standard for sidewalks in other industrial parks?
Plus a wider concrete street. Like we're talking in, if you want the City of Winnipeg standard park.
Yes.
It's reinforced concrete pavement and then sidewalks on both sides.
Sidewalks on both sides.
On both sides. So that's the
and
way.
And so what do they currently have in St. Boniface Industrial Park? They don't have that.
Yeah.
Don't have that in Innsbruck Industrial Park. Don't have that in Inkster Industrial Park. So where's the standard?
Where is that?
Inkster, I thought, was on both sides. Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Throughout Inkster Industrial Park?
Yep.
I can tell you there is a sidewalk on one side on Inkster Boulevard.
Condition 16 specifies just one side. I don't know where you're coming from. But this both sides.
Both east and west is where I'm saying both sides.
East and west. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I was thinking both sides of the street, so east and west.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. What do they do in Terracon Industrial Park?
We don't have sidewalks.
No sidewalks?
No.
No one takes the bus there?
I'm sorry?
Nobody takes the bus?
Actually, we do a very, very heavily well-used bus system there.
Okay. Continue.
What are the other condition 12 required that the developer at no cost to the city install automated signalized rail crossings. This property, in order to access it, does need to cross the Greater Winnipeg Water District Railway line and aqueduct, and that is a line that we have tried to secure some information on that's been unsuccessful on in terms of activity. But having worked out in the area for almost 20 years now, I can tell you I've seen it three times or four times maybe on only a handful of occasions.
I can tell you it's 18 trips a year approximately.
Thank you.
That's nine each way.
That's nine trips each way.
Okay, automatic railway crossing. Are those the arms that... Speak up.
We have an amendment for those clauses regarding the railway crossing protection, and we amended it to say that the developer shall, at no expense to the city, pay all costs associated with the installation of railway crossing protection, so that could be whatever the appropriate one is, stop sign initially, at those crossings of the Winnipeg Railway, not excluding automatic railway crossing protection if required within full build-out. And then we had...
Who's determining what's required? Is that a railroad standard, a Railway Act standard, or...?
We would follow the RTD-10 railway guidelines for it.
What is it called?
The RTD-10. That's what we would follow, but at this point it's not required. And it may not ever be required.
But this, just to be clear, this is the railroad that belongs to the city of Winnipeg that goes to Shoal Lake. I rode that in grade 3, actually. I can't do it anymore. I tried.
You have two amendments for each of those railway ones that we've written out.
Michael, you've heard the amendment?
I've heard the amendment. I'm not fussy about the requirements, but as long as there's a set industry standard, then I could probably live with that. At 18 trips a year, quite frankly, what I'm proposing is a stop sign with rail crossing arms identical to what's currently in St. Boniface Industrial Park for the main rail spur that serves the entire business park. So, and I would suspect that that probably has more traffic than the Greater Winnipeg Water District Railway. So if I've got my tenants and my landowners coming out of Prairie Industrial Park, coming to a full and complete stop at the railway, look both ways before you cross, I think we've got it covered. I don't think we need to do anything more than that.
I tend to agree.
Thank you.
Okay.
Roadworks. There are two items under the roadworks that I'd like to discuss. One is Ray Mansouris Drive. There is an obligation for us to properly cross the aqueduct and to pave that from the aqueduct north to connecting to Camille Sis. We are in full agreement to be able to do that. We just don't want to make that part of our initial development. Part of one of the things that we have to do in order to be competitive with this industrial park, and there's probably a reason why no one's developed any industrial land in the city of Winnipeg for probably in excess of 20 years, we need to be very careful of how we manage our cash and how we spend it. Unlike St. Boniface Industrial Park, I can't afford to put all the services in the ground and get it all nice and pretty and then hammer in a for sale sign. I've got to do it on a build to sell basis, and that's how I intend to phase this. I intend to, and I'm asking for an approval of the plan and the subdivision, but I'm only going to build as much as I think I can sell that year. In other words, if I only need 100 feet of road to get five lots, because I think I'm only going to sell five lots, then I'm only going to build 100 feet of road and have the turnarounds and extend it that way. It just, again, it's a matter of making sure that I can manage my cash and make this a successful development. So our opposition isn't to doing that work. It's the timing of doing that work. And we're suggesting that we would do that work when we get to the completion and have developed and brought on stream lot 30 within the development.
After the completion of lot 30.
If you go to the package that we gave you, there's a tab that should have a site plan.
Where would lot 30 be?
Okay. And 13 presently says...
be from Azenod to lot 30 before you constructed Ray Narius Road.
What we would do as part of that extension of the road. In other words, you know, when we go to build that section of the roadway, then we'll make the connection to Ray Mancera's. I wouldn't build it out, sell all the lots, and then build the road, although I like that timing.
Marius, and what are you saying?
Ray Mancera's. Ray Marius. Who picked Mancera's these names?
He was thinking it was a member of the Doors or whatever they're talking about.
That's what he was saying.
He's dead.
Ray Marius.
Okay, so it's Ray Marius Road. So the issue then is until you get to Ray Marius Road, you don't want to have to build.
That's correct.
That's the gist of it, right?
That's the gist.
No. He wants not to build it until he gets to the end of the cul-de-sac, then he builds Ray Marius. Right?
I've got to build that road. The minute I get to Ray Marius, I'll build it. Put it that way.
Yeah.
That's not what this says, though.
My intention always was I got to build that section of road to the end of the cul-de-sac. So when I build that section of the road, I'll build Ray Marius at the same time. If you have a more comfortable wording that you would prefer to use, I'm certainly open to it.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but that's not what's written on the screen there.
Then it's
will only be constructed after completion of Lot 30.
That's not my intent. Sorry for the confusion.
So what you want to say is that it will only be constructed after the road intersecting Ray Marius Road is installed.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're comfortable with that, I'm comfortable with that.
When it intersects Ray Marius Road.
Someone's got to make notes of this because I'm...
phases? Is that... Or is it 30 phases?
It could be 30 phases. It depends on how much road I build and how many lots I can sell.
But once you get up to Ray Marius, then you go past it.
Yes.
That's what they want, which doesn't seem unreasonable.
So we should ignore what's on the screen.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's keep it simple.
Okay, next.
Distance between Masnod and Ray Marius?
Between Masnod and... I don't know. Off the top of my head.
Because in the development agreement ACG report, we had specified a maximum of 350 meters for this development.
Yeah, but he's going to get to that right away.
I'm not positive if that's within the 350 meters.
Yeah, but he's going to get to the issue of
it's
the
not.
350 meters right here.
It's more than 350 meters, I can tell you that. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot more than 350.
I know where you're going. Okay.
Here's where we move to meatloaf and mashed potatoes, right here. We have asked for and are asking for an 875-meter right-of-way that will end at a dead-end cul-de-sac, which is excessive. It's a long road. And I understand the administration's issues relative to safety, but I think we are asking for a lot, but we're also going to give a lot. And I need everyone to understand very clearly that by only limiting the road to 350 meters, I'm losing over 26% of my developable land. And anyone who's ever passed Development 101 knows the profit in a development is at the last lot. It's not in your first lot. All your expenses are in your first lot, and your profit's in your last lot. The loss of 26% of the developable land will result in approximately a $2 million a year loss in tax revenue. And part of the reason why we joint ventured with the City of Winnipeg to develop this particular piece of land was to generate tax revenue. Right now, we've got a leakage of tax revenue and a leakage of development going to the RMs and, of Springfield and Headingley and McDonald, and that's where the majority of our development, industrial development for the City of Winnipeg is taking place. It's taking place in the capital region, not in the city.
So if this is a joint venture, how come you're not ironing out these issues cooperatively behind the scenes and coming forward?
Public Works have taken their position. We have tried. We have had an opportunity, and we have tried to have discussions with them, and this is their position. So I'd hate to see how I'd be treated if I weren't a partner.
Okay.
Quite frankly, If it's the will of this council and the will of these councillors to say, no, we agree with the public works and we want a 350-meter road, that's it, that's all, this is dead. We cannot make money.
So you're saying the joint venture is dead?
The joint venture is dead. It will never be developed. I think that land has been sitting there since Christ was a Boy Scout, and it will continue to sit there because it becomes virtually undevelopable to meet all of the standards and all the criteria and all the requirements, which we, for the most part, do agree with. And I think our quality of the work that Terracon Development does represents those qualities. But it doesn't work. The dog doesn't hunt.
Well, we do have a corporate group on the other side that coordinates the different departments. Do you not speak to them about what...
I have had several conversations with the corporate group. I've had several conversations with the planning department, with Mark Pettette, who has been very accommodating in trying to bridge gaps. And the unfortunate position is Public Works have made their position, and that's what they want to go with.
Is there anyone on our side that's looking at this from the corporate joint partnership perspective, or are we all...
Can I ask a simple question? How is it that you can build that 875 feet in the RM of Headingley or in the RM of McDonald, and you can't do it in the city of Winnipeg? What book are they going with?
They just use different standards than what we use.
Okay, what book are those standards coming from?
I don't know what they use.
You don't know?
No.
So what standards, what book are your standards coming
our
from?
Our typical one is 105 meters.
What?
105 meters, our
can't
guideline.
Can you turn that mic on? I can't hear it.
Our standard is 105 meters, but for this development, we looked at it and compared it to other areas within the St. Boniface Industrial Park, and that's how we came up with our 350 meters.
You're not answering my question. Where is the standard coming from? Like what journal, what textbook, what... is there a standard? I mean, I've been in a million places where you've got these sort of gravel roads of these little industrial parks in municipalities. They run for miles without any way out.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the buildings are well set back, so it's not an issue of something catastrophic going to happen because you got these huge setbacks. So I don't understand why we would be hung up on 350 or 875 or even a kilometer.
It comes down to safety, the safety aspect of it. If something happened on that road, the road had to be closed, the whole thing, a fire or flood.
A fire on the road.
Or nearby it that closed the road, or a flood or a big collision. That's what it comes down to.
So you're saying that they need four lanes here to deal with a fire on the road.
We do have locations where we have accepted a four-lane divided as the secondary means of access because half of that could be closed and the other half could still operate.
Okay, so there's no industry standard for this. This is basically just arbitrary.
It's the City of Winnipeg standard. It's what we use.
Okay. So, okay, where were we here?
I'm going to try and convince you that we are providing asking for a lot, but we're giving a lot. I think what we're doing is trying to present an alternative and an option that hopefully will be acceptable to council. I'm sorry?
Which clause were you on?
This is...
Go back. I can't remember which one it is.
21.
Okay.
So there's a couple of items, or five items in particular, I'd like to talk about. One is the road width, parking controls, planned future connections, building setbacks, and similar practices in existing industrial parks within the city and the surrounding capital. I don't think we're asking for anything pioneering here. We're just simply asking for a slightly longer roadway than has been permitted in the past, but I think there's a couple of issues here that would justify it. Talk about the road width. At Prairie Industrial Park, we will have a 14-meter wide roadway with 10 meters of asphalt pavement and 2 meters compacted gravel shoulder on either side. That's a total of 14 meters. A typical industrial roadway width in the city of Winnipeg is 10 meters. And those can be found on Meridian Drive and Niagara Road East, for Examples, St. Boniface Industrial Park is all 10-meter wide with no shoulders. So we're providing 40% more roadway and more road surface to allow, in the eventuality of some catastrophe of some sort, that may block that roadway. Next. In addition to that, we are prepared to make that roadway no parking at any time. These are large lots, and we're trying to force the parking and the employees to stay within the land areas that are being developed. And so we're prepared to allow that no parking to add another level of security and safety. Thirdly, which is a little outside of our control, but I think someone has to take a longer-term look, the road also is a road to additional lands. There's an additional 125 acres of land to the west that could be developed as well, and there are two access points that could be linked up there to back up the Dugald Road or eventually on to
Lash and Laudier. Is that land owned by yourselves?
Unfortunately not. But it is zoned industrial land, and I'm sure it will be developed. If we're successful, that may spark the owner of that particular piece of land to either sell or to develop it as well.
So what are you proposing to build at the end of the cul-de-sac?
Nothing. It will just be a continuation of the road. We'll have lots on the north and the south side of the road.
Just a dead end?
It would be a dead end with a temporary turnaround until such a time as that road would link into further development to the west.
What's the setback to the buildings there?
Next slide. This is our typical building setback. We've got a 31-foot vegetated swale, 15-foot front landscaping minimum requirement. Typically, parking would be at the front of the building, and then some additional landscaping. So that would put you approximately about 120 feet from the edge of the roadway. You know, something like that, I'm not a fireman, I don't know, but I can't imagine a pumper truck staying 120 feet back and trying to spray a large industrial building that on a five-acre site. Those emergency vehicles are going to enter the site, and they're going to enter the lot in which they're going to fight the fire, I would imagine. So again, we're looking at a potential catastrophic event. Somebody tell me what it could be. I don't know, and I think with that setbacks, the road widening.
A diesel fire.
In the middle of the road or in the building?
No, you asked me what sort of problems there could be. I'm saying, how about a diesel fire in the building? You said in the building, didn't you?
I'm sorry?
Did you say
on the road?
You said on the road, okay.
Like, what would cause the road to be blocked?
If they're going to fight the fire, they're coming out of the lot, are they not? Because the building's 120 feet back from the road. It's not like a residential development where the residences are 40 and 50 feet of front yard from the roadway, and the fire truck parks itself in front of the road and blocks the road off and fights the fire. I mean, these lots are 5 and 10 and 15 acre lots is what we're intending to develop here.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, lastly, let's look at some similar practices. This is Meridian Drive and Discovery Place, which is in Inkster, North Inkster Industrial Park, where we have a road of 717 meters that dead ends. You can see it in yellow as it comes off Meridian, up Discovery, and dead ends at a cul-de-sac, 717 meters in length. That's a 10-meter wide roadway, and that was approved in 1999. The other one, I threw this one in just for fun, because I think it graphically illustrates that there's no consistency in the policy, and that is Christie Road, which is 2,078 meters long, one way in, one way out, ends with a dead-end cul-de-sac, and as recently as 2006, the City of Winnipeg approved 8 lots for subdivision at the end of the cul-de-sac. That's where I'd be worried. I don't think I'd worry so much at Prairie Industrial. But it gets done here, just a reflection of the inconsistency. The other is in the RM of McDonald, Samborski Drive, which is an industrial development, again, 509 meters long, that ends in a dead-end cul-de-sac, and that was approved by the RM in 2009 and would it require some provincial approval as well?
Yes.
It would require provincial approval as well. The last one is Nicola Drive in Headingley, You can see the rough foundation. I think that was supposed to be the old Sobeys distribution center. But 786 meters, which again was approved in 2008 and would have been approved by the province as well. So
that's the competition.
That's our competition. And that's who we have to compete against. And I think we've demonstrated and provided five illustrations of what we've done to mitigate risk and mitigate potential hazards.
You said this already, but please repeat for me. It's the lots are 5 acres?
They're in 5 acre parcels and 1 acre parcels. And the intent here is to be able to have maximum flexibility to be able to subdivide and, or okay. to sell. You need 2 acres? Well, here's combine these two-acre lots. You need 10 acres? We'll combine 2 5-acre lots.
So the ones to the west are the fives?
That's correct.
And what would the distance be, the lot distance on a 5 acre?
The frontage?
Not the frontage, the depth.
About 75 meters of frontage.
Meters. Okay, that's the frontage, but
that's
the depth.
Right. Depth, for all the plans I have are so small I can't read them.
Okay. Welcome to my world.
I couldn't even begin to get. We'll see if the young guys can read it. About 270.
Meters.
Yes.
Okay, continue.
This is the big issue. I think all my issues are important, but this one's the big one. And that I think in order to make this development a success and successful and to meet the objectives that we've set out, we need this road.
And that's reflected in clause number in the ACG. That would be 21?
21.
Notes on all the different amendments that have been proposed?
All of them are reflected in the package that we distributed.
Can we, okay, let me ask a few general questions. I don't think I have any more questions of the applicant, but stick around, I may. Cindy, can you comment on relative to the lands, the cul-de-sac, the long cul-de-sac to the west? Can you comment on the assertion that the long distance of the length of the lots, the length of the right-of-way, the roadway, does that not provide a reasonable level of safety should there be an industrial, let's say some sort of fire in one of the areas to the furthest east to allow some of the other tenants to leave the subdivision should they need to? Can you comment on what Michael's generally proposed to us?
I think for that one, the fire department would have to comment on that. If what their thought when we wrote the ACG comments and
have they been consulted at all with this?
Well, they would have seen the comments, but it would have had the limit of 350 on it, so they wouldn't have raised any concerns at that point because that's what we recommended for.
To come here tonight to make representation.
I don't know if he was asked to come.
But the fire department were consulted on this through the ACG. Can I say that?
The application would be circulated.
Yeah, it's circulated to them.
Okay.
And so in the report, if they had concerns, their concerns would have been listed?
Well, I think what Cindy was trying to say,
with the conditions limiting the length of the cul-de-sac to 350, they didn't have any concerns. What she's saying is at 875, might they have concerns?
Okay, but at 350 they didn't. The city standard's 100?
105.
105. So you changed the standard going into the report. The fire department didn't have an issue with 350. They didn't make comment that if it was to go further, they would have an issue.
They didn't include any conditions.
But the issue is more of a fire issue than a public works issue.
Well, the collisions would be, from a collision perspective, that's where public works would be concerned.
What statistics do we have on collisions on these types of
roads?
I
don't know offhand.
So we don't have any of that information?
No.
Okay.
Let me just go through some of these. Let's start with the small stuff, vegetated swales versus bioswales. Greg?
French drain underneath it.
What
they want to do is just put in a ditch.
A bioswale. Functionally, what's the difference?
A bioswale has a weeping tile, if you want.
So
a weeping tile.
You layer it so it's got some retention capacity under the.
So you're okay with that stated?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try to
systematically knock these off here. Okay, asphalt cross section roadways rather than paved. Fine. I'm going through the Terracon list here. Do you have that? Okay. C-17, you're fine with that one? Okay, that's a minor one. Active transportation, no, I don't understand that. You said you were fine with the path going north-south, which is what?
Also, up
and down Maznon, which is what our clause says, is it not? North-south.
Yes.
What clause is it?
Number 8, C-8. The developer shall at no expense to the city extend the active transportation pathway on Maznon Road southward to the proposed development as determined by the satisfaction of public works. You're fine with that. Okay, so that's good.
What's the other clause?
The sidewalk?
Yeah, let's go through these.
Transportation. Okay,
yeah.
So it's a north-south path. Okay, I get it.
So you're fine with what's in there. You don't need 8. Railway crossing protection, C-12. You provided the amendment, and you're fine with what's in 12 and 14? Okay. It's fine.
Okay, so I just want to clarify something here, Dan.
Yeah.
You have no problem with paying your share should an increased standard be required?
Yes.
Okay. But for right now, the standard would be the same as what it is at whatever the other railroad crossing there, which is what we would be asking for to be installed. Basically a stop sign. Okay.
Right. So but as long as there's some sort of professional or industry standard that we're governed
right.
by. I don't want the Director of Public Works to wake up one morning and decide that today would be a good day to spend Terracon's money on a crossing arm.
Okay, so we're talking about the RTD 10 guidelines.
Yes.
Is what sets the standard. Okay, so that's what it will be saying, that the
yep.
current requirement is for a stop sign, and if it has to be upgraded, their share of the costs. Because if it's triggered by some other development further down this road that's not their property, they should not be held responsible for the cost of, what comes after.
Okay, we're all on the same page? Cindy?
Yeah.
You're fine? And you're fine with the amendment as it comes forward?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
12 and 14? Okay. Okay, now Ray Manzarek Road, C13. You're saying that you will build Ray Marius Road when the development gets to that point?
Yes.
Okay, can I can't, can you, Greg?
I mean, it becomes a long cul-de-sac again, right? We're at the same issue as before, so that's...
We go back to Clause 13, and we wanted to do that, right?
Right.
And if it's not...
From a timing perspective, did you say that when the development reaches Ray Road, that you would extend the roadway all the way to the end?
Yeah, that would be the last push, right?
Why are you tying it to Lot 30?
No, he said he doesn't
want
to tie it to Lot 30.
You're all very uncomfortable with my wording, and I'm prepared to change my wording to be so everyone is comfortable.
When the new roadway it gets to the point where it would intersect Ray Marius Road, that is when the installation of Ray Marius would be required.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to move eventually when we get to the motion. So if somebody can write that up. Appropriately.
Mark, you're doing that? This is a chair for this evening. Yeah. If you're okay with that. Or Cindy. Somebody just write up the word.
Tear up some wording with
I'm sure the good council will be taking a good look at the wording.
Okay. Sidewalks. I kind of like the idea of sidewalks on both sides. I mean on going that way and that way.
There's the existing St. Boniface Industrial Park. Like, there's nothing. The sidewalk all comes in, on the main roads. It doesn't, like the Bates has no sidewalks on.
Cindy, give me your perspective on the sidewalks. Why, if there's no sidewalks in the industrial area, other industrial parks, we want one here?
There aren't in other industrial parks.
Well, we're looking at the St. Boniface Industrial Park, which was built by the city, and it has, on the lesser roads, there are no sidewalks. The sidewalks come down, and there's a trail that comes down Mazenod Road, and there's one on Bagan, I think it is, but on DeBates, there's no sidewalks on DeBates. Hmm. Which is, and the city did the development.
When was it done, though? I mean, there's...
In the 90s?
Okay.
Well, still being sold.
Okay, let's go back to the sidewalk. We'll come back to that one later.
Typically, sidewalks are put on collector streets, and in this particular development, the collector street would be Mazenod, the extension of Mazenod. And that's why we're agreeable to allowing the active transportation corridor. It creates a central point.
You realize that's wider than the sidewalk?
Yes.
It's an asphalt path.
We contributed all the land for the active transportation corridor fronting along Dougal Road and Mazenod Road, which is tantamount to about 4 acres of land.
Okay, let's move on from the sidewalks, and what's the next one?
What are you doing with sidewalks, Councillor?
I'll come back to it at the end. Okay, landscaping maintenance. What is that? The ongoing maintenance of the street right-of-way?
I was looking for some simple clarification on that. I'm assuming what the... ACG is asking for is that whoever buys the lot has to assume responsibility for landscaping and cutting the grass of the bioswale. No, what is it? Vegetated swale.
Can someone clarify that?
I'm assuming that's what that means. No different than a residential boulevard?
Yeah, same as the boulevards.
Okay. Yep, then I'm fine with that.
So that's already entrenched in a bylaw, right? It's already a city bylaw that it's landowner responsibility to cut those areas? So we can delete the clause for clarity?
If it's already a bylaw, then I shouldn't have to register an easement or a cable.
Mark, I'm not entirely sure. Well, the right-of-way is the boulevard. Who cuts the grass in the rest of the industrial park from the boulevards?
City of Winnipeg will ultimately take it over.
Thank you.
if you want a little bit differently with the vial swale and things like that. I guess.
But you're fine with it being the new owner's responsibility, not...
That's right, but if there's an existing bylaw, we don't need to register a caveat on the property.
Yep. Good.
It's successors. Okay. We can leave that clause in. I don't think there's any harm there.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I think the clause is fairly clear. It says the developer shall for itself, its successors, and assigns shall covenant with the city. So the successor is once you sell the land, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And the last one is length of the road to the west. I think for this one, I appreciate where Public Works is coming from. I think there's certain standards that are erratic all over the city. They fluctuate. Clearly the case has been made even for developments that have been approved recently. The standards are not one set standard. I think the risk, given the length of the lots and the size of the lots and the length of the roadway with the width of the roadway with the shoulders on both sides, significantly mitigate any potential risk, which in a new development I think is going to be low anyways, given the standards that we have today. So I'm going to side that this condition 21 be removed, because I think the risk is very low, and I think it's been proven that...
You need to amend it, because the standard is 105 meters. You need to amend it to give them up to 900 meters, I think, Dan.
Is that what needs to happen?
Yeah, because what they're putting in here is 350 meters, if I'm not mistaken, right? But if you take the clause right out, then you're going back to the default, which is 105 meters. So you need to amend to 800.
So I'll amend.
You're approving the roadway.
Well, just for clarity, put 850 meters in the... In clause.
Okay, I'll amend clause number C21 to reflect 850 meters.
Instead of 350.
Instead of 350. Keep in mind, we're not talking about an industrial area that was constructed in 1940 like in some of the other industrial areas that are close by. This is going to be brand new, large setbacks.
Sort of triggered, this will be triggered by accepting the Mylars.
So the plan legitimizes the roadway.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure we don't have to argue about it again.
Right.
875 was the number?
Yeah.
875.
Okay, so I want to make that amendment when I move the motion.
We don't know what the length of the whole side is.
It's within 875 meters.
Yeah.
Road to the end, I thought it was about 350. And from Mazenod to Rays Road is 700? Around 700. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and then you could just add a piece there that you need to put that piece in there that you're not triggered until you get to Ray Marius Road on going east of Mazenod. Yeah, because this clause is specifically to west of Mazenod.
From Mazenod to Ray.
Doesn't matter. This clause only says west of. So you need to just, you have to add the clause that says Ray Marius is triggered when the roadway gets to the new roadway gets to the intersection of Ray Marius. That's our intent. However the language comes out.
Yes.
Rochelle will, what's that?
Condition 13 as well. Maybe where we'll tie that.
13, the noise message secret stuff on thickness to Ray Marius. Add a clause there that says it will be required when the new roadway reaches the intersection of Ray Marius.
Okay. Okay, so I hope I don't have to repeat all those amendments.
And two more issues. One is the traffic impact study and the sidewalks. Don't want to forget those.
Okay, well, on the sidewalks, it's hard for me to impose a standard that the city of Winnipeg doesn't impose on itself when we do industrial areas. So I'm going to delete the requirement for a sidewalk and the fact that there's an active transportation corridor going down north-south on Mazenod is very positive.
Okay.
And what's the other one?
The traffic impact study. We dealt with this at EPC when I was on EPC, Dan. It was this everything triggers a traffic impact study. This was already zoned, this land.
Sure, the traffic impact study, but does that not trigger...
We did a traffic impact study. Great.
Condition 22, which is the intersection improvements at the three intersections. Okay. That I think they also
reference.
You
can delete 22 in its entirety.
I said that be removed as well. I don't know if you brought it up as part of your representation.
Okay.
By the approved by the Public Works Department.
New auxiliary lane.
Oh, it's on page one of his submission. Yeah. So if you remove the condition for the traffic study, they also want you to remove the intersection.
Okay, I'll remove the traffic impact study.
So that's 22. B1 and C22.
Right.
Okay. We clear? Okay. And the sidewalks, we're clear? We've done that now?
Robert?
Once you're done with these, I have one minor thing at the end. Are you guys...
I think we're done. Is there any, Cindy, or...
The traffic impact study, the reason we required it in this case is because of the high number of generated trips it's creating, and the storage lanes, auxiliary lanes, all of that stuff, because there's going to be large commercial vehicles using them, they may need to be extended, but we didn't get any numbers to be able to look at if the intersections can handle the truck traffic.
Right.
As well, they looked at the existing traffic volumes, but they didn't analyze them to see if the intersections can accommodate the additional traffic.
Okay.
So that's where those two clauses come in, that we were asking for that information.
Sure. Okay. No, I understand that.
Mine's minor. We're actually recommending in clause one, recommending approval schedule B, not A. A was the advertised subdivision.
Okay, in clause one.
What are you looking at?
Clause one of the front page approval.
Okay, I'm talking about the ACG.
No, not in the ACG, in the overall plan of subdivision, okay. What we're approving. We're recommending B. A was what was advertised.
At the road be granted with the city containing all the conditions outlined in the report of the administrative coordinator, the Schedule C of this report. So when we amend Schedule C of this report, we're done, right?
But B like in the advertising, we had missed one thing, that there is the M1 zone piece, and there's also the.
That's the very first condition. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
This should say Schedule B.
Yeah. Okay.
The Schedule D for file DAS 19 of 2013.
Yeah.
I get it now.
So it's a minor one. And there's actually a text. The issue just is very simple. There was a piece of M1 zone land, and in the explanation sheet, it should say presently zoned M3 manufacturing heavy and M1 manufacturing light districts.
Okay.
And you've got that?
Michelle?
Yeah. That's it. Very simple.
Councillor, I think you are, for all intents and purposes, ready to go. We have nothing on the variance.
Vote on this one first and then do the variance.
Pardon me? It's a combined hearing, Mike.
Combined hearing? Okay.
Yeah.
So
do you have issues on the variance?
A very minor one on the variance. Again, it just goes back.
There is nothing minor with you, Mr. Falk.
Okay. It's only one page.
Go ahead.
I was going to go on a little bit of a rant that I thought this was the greatest piece of red tape that ever... No, okay, I won't do that. We intentionally... Can you go back to our site plan? We've got two lots that you can see here that do not front on the public roadway.
That's front on Elizabeth Avenue, which is the legal right-of-way opening, but not on Page Street. So these two lots, rearage lots, what we were looking for was some flexibility as to how they would access the new public road. And simply what we were asking and want to do is just that building permits should not be issued for these two lots until such a time as we can clearly demonstrate that there's access off the new public road. I don't want to be hamstrung into between these lots and that lot, this lot and that lot, and I do not want to have to go through a short-form subdivision. It consolidates the title under ways and means of consolidating that title through a GAPS application,
which is a simple administrative procedure and a land titles clearing where we redraft the lot lines and allow it to go through rather than having to go through a short form subdivision, which is anything but short. The last one I did was almost 8 months. So,
any concerns, gentlemen?
I hope we've addressed that because we had no concerns with that. We put in the clauses of the variance that no building permit. I'll just use lot 52 for the first example. We did the same wording for 53. Until any one or more of lots 45 to 48 are consolidated with 52 into one lot through a subdivision application or one parcel through a plan of survey application.
So why does it have to be through lots 45 or 48?
Because those are adjoining, and they can be consolidated. Any one. We don't care which one. What happens if they get
access off of Elizabeth Road in the future?
The long-term, from our ACG meeting, I think the long-term intent for Elizabeth Road is to have it closed.
And what happens if they want to come straight in off of Mazenod Road? That becomes one giant parcel.
Then we'd have to build a bridge over the lake.
Yeah.
Oh, you okay. Yeah.
We have no concerns. I hope we've satisfied that with the...
I don't want to be hamstrung into a particular lot that it's got to go through. I just want to, as long as we demonstrate it's going to be accessible. And my personal view is that this could have been done very easily through the development agreement. But notwithstanding that, also I do not want to be hemmed into a short-form subdivision application when there is a process that will allow us to deal this through at land titles and through administration.
Right. And that's what we're hoping through. We heard the concerns through one parcel plan or one parcel through a plan of survey. So either or is fine by us. A DAPS or a DASSF.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so you're fine with...
No concerns. I think we've recommended conditions that give them the flexibility and it in the long term makes the consolidation work and attach onto the road. So we have no concerns.
So you have no concerns? Are your concerns...
Going back to how it's worded, that's not. I don't read that in the
Tell us what it is you're suggesting. Be
Michael,
very direct.
There's four recommendations in front of us.
Yeah.
If you want to have some clarity in there, to ensure that what Robert is saying will be what happens going forth, where would you like the phrase DAPS added?
No building permit is required until demonstrated that access can be legally made through any one or more of the adjoining lots that front onto the proposed public road through a DAPS plan of survey application. It's the same thing? Okay, so you're fine with this language?
Well, we would say plan of survey in case DAPS ever changes. Whatever.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But you were fine with this language?
Get rid of the word subdivision. I do not want to do a subdivision.
He doesn't want to do a subdivision.
Oh, we're saying or.
Through a development application?
The thing is, we just want to make sure that nothing can be split. There
can you tell me if this language works, and we don't have to talk about this anymore?
That's one way of doing it, and the other way is...
Okay, so that works. Okay, I think the counselor knows where he's going here, I hope.
Okay, let's go here.
Okay, item four. You gentlemen can stand down. We've had enough of you for one night.
Okay, I'll move the reports of the public service be taken as read.
You know
what?
Before you do that, Dan, I just want to make sure that there's nobody else here on this application. I only have the two registered. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
I move the reports of the public service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
I'll move receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
And I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in as amended.
Okay. And you have all the amendments? You're comfortable? You don't need any more from us?
I think I just had one question. The railway crossing protection?
The issue there, and perhaps Cindy can help with this. All it has to say is that the stop sign is currently located at the other.
Cindy has a whole amendment written out.
She has?
Yeah,
she has it written out.
Was that this one?
This one.
This is 12. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we're good.
Okay. The developer, at no expense to the city, pay all the costs associated with the installation of railway crossing protection at the Mazenod Road crossing of the Winnipeg Railway, not excluding automatic railway protection if required until full build-out of the site is determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. No, that's not what we asked for. What we asked for was that that they're required to install protection similar to the protection existing at the other railroad crossing that was shown. The one with the stop sign? Camille Sis at the spur line in the St. Boniface subdivision? Okay. And that if required, that they would pay their share of costs of future protection according to RTD 10 guidelines. Because they don't have to pay for all of it if it's triggered by somebody else.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the amendments? The rest of them you've got, and Councillor, you'll be able to review the language in the morning?
I will for sure. Yeah. Once Sir Rochelle finishes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send it to me.
You're all good?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
So that's the amendment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried. The supporting reasons, Councillor?
Supporting reasons, this is a joint venture, although it's hard to determine that this is joint venture by this meeting, but I won't get into that now. Nobody's responsibility here, but I think there should be some corporate oversight over joint ventures so that we don't go through these sorts of meetings when we come to a public hearing. But that's an argument for another day. But long and short of it, this is going to be a positive development for the city. That's going to accrue hundreds of thousands of property tax and business tax dollars for the city.
And it's going to make us competitive, Councillor.
Make us competitive in the capital region, and it'll be a great development for Winnipeg.
Okay, and Councillor will also move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried. On the variance.
I will move.
Let the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
I'll move that.